bcmomstoptheharm.com, and there's always somebody on the other end of the line that's willing to talk to you, particularly if you're in crisis. There's always somebody that will get back to you.
Well, thank you so much. Tracy Letts is the board vice chair of Moms Stop the Harm. Thank you for speaking to me today on such an important issue.
Well, thank you for having me.
Democracy Now!, hosted by award-winning independent journalist Amy Goodman. Tune in to your daily progressive news, aired Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on CJSF.
This is Bird Note. Some of the most beautiful birds in the world are starlings. In Africa, where there are dozens of starling species, a quick look reveals a variety of visual stunners. Some of the names hint at their dazzle. Superb starling, golden-breasted starling, and emerald purple and violet-backed starlings. Just imagine a splendid, glossy starling outside your window. A quick view of the superb starling shows a fantastically shiny bird with a deep blue head and breast, black face, aquamarine wings, and a flame orange belly. African starlings have taken glossy plumage to new heights. The secret lies in their melanosomes, rod-shaped structures in birds' feather cells that carry dark pigment. In birds that sparkle, these rods are organized in ways that glisten under the light. Since starlings first appeared in Africa 17 million years ago, they've evolved three new forms of rod shapes, in addition to the ancient one. This is the only group of birds to possess all four different rods. New shapes of rods meant new ways of interacting with light and the emergence of new, more colorful feathers. This variety of colors pushed the rapid evolution of a wide range of African starling species, each with its own scintillating feathers. A wonderland of starlings. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Welcome to Gardening with Embark. Welcome, Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability Society.
Nice to be here. Good morning.
So we're in the middle of summer. Is it week
32?
32.
Yes.
Already, even though we're in the middle of summer and we're, you know, thinking about the beach and the other nice summer things, and of course all the sun and the growth in the garden, we're also already thinking about the fall.
Correct. Yes. So week 32, and in the back of our minds as gardeners is the first frost in November, right, around the 11th of November, and which will be week 45.
Wow. So we're often talking, you know, every time we do this each week, we sort of mention which week it is. And there is a real important reason for that, because keeping track of what week it is, and the weeks are counted from the beginning of the year, the calendar year.
Correct, yeah.
And keeping track of what week it is a huge guide to what we need to be thinking about.
Correct. So we gardeners usually have deadlines. Mm-hmm. For instance, when is the first frost, when is the last frost, when you have the summer solstice, the winter solstice, and that we use in order to plan our crops, mm-hmm, either indoors, outdoors, when they harvest, what to do. I try to avoid using months. Mm-hmm. Months is a too big chunk of time. And seasons is really 3 months, so it's like, oh, no, it's too long. So yeah, a week gives me time to count. There's 10 weeks left before winter, before the first frost is here. And now I need to think, what if my crops are ready in the field? And what I need to, when is the last time I can put seeds? Mm-hmm. So when the frost comes, my plants are in a nice stage that, mm-hmm, can stand the winter. Yeah. So that's all planning. So, yeah, and each week has different activities. Some of the activities will repeat week after week. Yeah. But, yeah, we keep time track of what the task in the garden.
Great. So, as we said, we're in the middle of summer. But now we're, among other things, we're starting to think about the fall. And, as you say, when the frost can arrive and what we need to do between now and then.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we now is we are waiting for. This is a good time to start considering if you are want to garden over the winter to build hoop houses. Mm-hmm. So gathering all the materials, having a design which kind of hoop house you are going to build, mm-hmm, how tall, how big, and then collecting the materials and start building slowly. There is no rush. It's nice to be outdoors, doing some carpentry. Because if you decide at the last minute, mid of October, the temperature drops, is wet, is raining, is cold, and you are in a hurry to build whatever you want. Okay. And sometimes the build doesn't go as expected because you have the first snow and all your hoop houses just goes flat because you cannot stand the weight of the snow.
Right.
So it's quite a bit of planning. The other is, I don't want to build hoop houses, so I just want to cover my garden beds with mulch, which, mm-hmm, would be either straw or collect the leaves around, yeah, your neighborhood. So it's another process, like, oh, I need to get all my materials to collect all these leaves, and if I'm going to trim them, I will have to invest in a leaf trimmer and so on. So it's, yeah, so all these little things that once the trees start falling the leaves, we just go hands-on and start gathering and adding to our garden and keeping it as well some for the compost.
Yeah, and as we mentioned in recent weeks, now's the time you're preparing seedlings and whatnot that are going to go on the ground.
Correct. So, yes. So, my seedlings in the garden were planted on July the 16th, mm-hmm, and at the moment they are ready to go into the garden. So my nursery is ready. So we have lots of broccoli, cauliflower, Romanesco, lettuces, and pak choi. So ready to go.
And what are you replacing in the garden? Because as those are gardening going in, I guess other things are finishing.
Yes, yeah, so carrots are being harvested, whatever onions we had, and beets. So yeah, there will be, and now as well, we are harvesting beans and some pea plant is still there, some peas are still there, so that would be, we need to clear, and immediately goes our new crops.
Right. So before we finish up, one thing about with the mulch, right? I mean, I know we're a little ways from when that's coming in.
Yeah.
But that's protecting the soil. Correct. And you have things growing under that mulch? You plant things and then you put the mulch on top? How does that work?
Okay, so one of the things that we usually plant mid-October is garlic.
Yeah.
And garlic requires frost in order to wake up and start developing. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we can put garlic and on top of that a little mulch. Then no other crops we will. So we will have already tall crops like a kale, Swiss chard, and Brussels sprouts, but we put the mulch around the plants.
Yeah.
So the fact that we put mulch on top of the soil is to protect the soil from excessive rain. Mm-hmm. So all the rain drops makes the soil to jump all around.
Right.
And the other is to give a habitat for any living thing living in the soil. And the invertebrate to come up when the soil gets very cold, comes to the surface and it stays between the mulch and the soil surface, and they stay all winter. So it's kind of giving a nice habitat for those little creatures that otherwise they will freeze to death.
And that, of course, helps keep the soil healthy.
Absolutely, yeah. So all these earthworms, imagine your house is all flooded, all frost, they come up and to the surface, and there is that nice layer of soil, or motion, sorry, where they can stay.
Great.
Yep.
All right, well, here we are in summer, already thinking about winter.
Correct, yeah.
I guess that's the gardener's life.
Yes, we are one season ahead. Yeah.
All right, thank you so much, and we will talk to you again next week. Pablo Rimas, how do people find out more about Embark?
Embark Sustainability, you can find us through our website, embarksustainability.org, or our social media channels at Embark Sustain.
Great. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. See you.
Bye.
This is a CHY News Update. After 3 years, Kamal Palmer's term as the City of Nanaimo's Poet Laureate is coming to an end, and she is reflecting on the work she has done and the lessons she has learned. Palmer, who has a deep love for writing poetry, took on the position in 2021. As a poet laureate, she connected the community with poetry as a literary ambassador. She says her time as a poet laureate was one of the most memorable experiences in her life.
And I would always cherish these memories, you know. I had developed a very deep and an everlasting bond between myself and the wonderful, you know, talented set of writers and poets, both established and budding poets that our wonderful city has. And their poems touched my heart as I heard them at various, you know, readings, panel discussions, and book launches that I had organized.
She has done several projects for the city, including a poem for Canada Day in 2023 and organizing the Poems for Windows project in 2022 with the Urban Design Roster Program. In this project, community members were asked to contribute poems that were made into posters in response to the conditions of the COVID-19 pandemic to ensure that there was still opportunity to connect with poetry during the pandemic. These poems were presented in civic facilities and shop windows around the city. As well, in 2022, Palmer worked on the Hidden Message Poetry Project that saw haikus she wrote combined with public art. Hydrophobic materials were used to install the poems along active transportation routes in 10 locations across the city. When it rained, the hidden poems would appear. She also worked on the Poetry in the Park project that started in the spring of this year, which Palmer says was to add poetry to the natural landscape of Bowen Park. People can walk around the park and find QR codes that link to the poems Palmer wrote about the nature and the landscape.
You know, a dual kind of a benefit. You walk and also enjoy poetry, and poetry and nature, as you know, have a symbiotic relationship, you know, with poetry. We love nature, and you can connect with nature and write poetry, and it's also a great healing tool, both nature and poetry.
Throughout her time, Palmer also published several poetry books, including Vanishing into the Blue, which came out in February of this year and highlights her love for nature. As poet laureate, she also did readings across the Central Vancouver Island area and on Gabriel Island,
She spent time connecting with other poets and writers.
One day they really loved having, you know, this kind of a get-together, and they said, you know, we should have more of this. I had poets coming from various, you know, other than Gabriel, all the small islands out here. And they came by ferry and to attend and to read, and there were some really reputed poets.
She was able to meet many people through her readings and other literary events that helped grow her inspiration and reflect on where she was as a starting writer.
Talents, you know, I learned from the, even from budding writers or established writers, you know, they gave me, made me increase my love of writing poetry, and I also recollected the time when I was just a budding writer and how I used to sit down, go to a park and read a poetry book and get inspiration, or get inspiration by just looking at a lake, or here, of course, we have the wonderful ocean. We are on an island and the mountains are there.
She says through her position, she was able to learn a lot from the work she did and the people she met.
Talking to them, getting to know them better, taught me many lessons, you know, to how the journey, it might be difficult, but never give up. Have patience and perseverance. That's the answer to be a true poet, and never give up. You know, you have to have some resilience. You know, you might get any amount of rejection slips, but do not give up. But one fine day, you'll reach your goal.
She says she gets a lot of her inspiration from nature and different places around Nanaimo.
To any area, Brennan Lake, Diver Lake, go to the ocean, you know, just outside and bordering Lanceville and Nanaimo, there's a lovely, you know, it's like paradise on earth. You can see the sunrise, the sunset.
She says Nanaimo offers so many beautiful spots to seek inspiration from, and she says she can find beauty in any place.
I think the whole of Nanaimo is beauty. It's like paradise to me. So wherever you go, the Buttertub Marsh has its own beauty, even though it's marshland, but the birds and the, you know, the ducks, etc., are unique out there, and you know, they never fail to surprise me at any time.
She said through the position, her love for poetry has grown, and she has strengthened her connection to other creative people in the community.
So I think I felt deeply enriched, and I think it was a turning point in my writer's career, you know, becoming the poet laureate. I feel deeply honored and privileged to be able to serve our community.
Parmore says as her time as a poet laureate comes to an end, she will continue to write and stay connected with other writers and poets in the community. She says she also wishes the best of luck to the next person who will take on the role as a poet laureate for Nanaimo. The deadline for the application to be the next poet laureate runs until September 16th, 2024. Information on the position and how to apply can be found on the City of Nanaimo's Parks, Recreation, and Culture website. This is Parmore reading her poem, Sauntering in the Forest, from her poetry book, Just Passing By.
Sauntering in the forest. There is a stillness in the air, strangely quiet, as if the trees have spoken and I did not hear, or having heard, did not understand. Maybe it spoke to the fall fairy that flits from the arbutus to the fir, from the cedar to the shaggy dogwood, touching her magic wand to every leaf and bush till they change color from endless shades of green to mellow, muted yellows, giving its clarion call. The deep blue of the sky is now mottled with clouds floating like wisps of cotton wool across the bosom of Mount Benson in the far horizon. On the other side lies the ocean, an ultramarine sheet of water, a shimmering mirror dissolving into the pale blue mountain ranges, so lofty and sacred. Thank you.
For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like...
Tomato lettuce. I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. When a disaster strikes, you might need to evacuate your home quickly, so it's important to pack a go bag full of essentials beforehand. But that does not mean you need anything fancy.
You don't need to buy the official, you know, space food emergency preparedness kits.
Nadia Wiggins is with Listos California, an initiative of the Governor's Office of Emergency Services. She says a go bag should have non-perishable foods like canned soup or oatmeal, along with drinking water or a water purifier. You should also pack photocopies of any important documents, such as your ID and insurance coverage. Print out a map of your neighborhood and highlight evacuation routes and places you might be told to go for support.
Somewhere where in an emergency, if I was told by firefighters, EMTs, or other personnel to evacuate my home, I know the way and I know how to get there without GPS, without my phone, without a car.
Other items in a go bag can include cash, a first aid kit, batteries, a flashlight, a blanket, and tarps or ponchos. As climate change brings more extreme weather, it's important to be prepared before disaster strikes.
I keep a small tote bag with these things. I put it in my trunk out of sight, and I still feel a lot of peace of mind knowing that I have the bare minimum in my car.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Nobody here, nobody escapes.
anything for our kids. What parent wouldn't? I'm just glad they're still so young, so we can speak in code in front of them. But they must wonder why we're always camping.
Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Wandering Rhythms, Mondays from noon to 2.
Join us in a weekly sample of music from planet Earth.
The strangest mixtape you will ever hear.
Desert blues.
Balkan punk.
Latin funk.
African psych.
Pigeon rap.
And anything and everything else you can imagine, equally represented by all continents.
Because good music is universal.
Wandering Rhythms.
Mondays at noon on CJSF 90.1 FM.